Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
We're always excited about being back. I mean, it seems like we've been gone a long time, but it's only been 3 months. And I have to say, I still call this home, and I've been corrected by multiple people in my life. But it's a hard transition to say, after a lifetime of being in one place, that home is a new place. And I still feel like, you know, all our people are here, so that makes it home. It's not about a building or a house. We're not even in our house, but it's about the people. So we are so happy to be around you all, and we are blessed to have you in our lives. And I would have to tell you that in our experience, our current experience, we have learned to become so much more grateful for all that we have, for all the Lord has given us in our lives as far as family, friendships, teaching, foundational teaching. It's when you leave your place of comfort and your people, and you go, you step out of that, and you meet new people, even within the church, you find out, you know, they're walking with the Lord now, but what they went through their whole lives to get to this point, it's thank you, Lord, that you had given us a foundation from our birth, from childhood, and thank God our children get that too. So it's an amazing season that we are in. It is exciting and scary all at the same time. And I don't have a typical Easter Sunday message, so I do apologize for that, but I want to be faithful to what the Lord's been speaking to me. It's more of a Passover kind of message in a preparation message. And it is called Dwelling in Goshen. I don't know that we got the title up. But we're going to talk. The Lord has been speaking to me a lot about Goshen, and I've been studying into that over the last several months, and also about what we are hearing in our circles about being prepared and what God's calling us to in that, in the physical, in the natural, and in the spiritual. Pastor Dave kind of touched on my message already. He's kind of tied the bow for me, and I appreciate that. But the last couple of days, we've been at John Michael's house and been spending time with Ellie. And the Lord just started speaking to me, and I was concerned the message was shifting, but I'm just going to share this. And he started talking to me about restoring awe and wonder to the body of Christ, that we've gotten so far from being in awe and even in, like, a holy fear of the Lord. And, you know, if we think about leading up to the crucifixion of Christ, and even as it was happening, and the disciples and his followers in the aftermath, they were scared, afraid, fearful. But when he rose again, the awe and wonder was overwhelming. And I believe that God wants us to live like that every day. And as I watch Ellie, like, she has no care about, you know, what might hurt her, or that she might get in trouble, or something might happen. She's just in awe of everything. Oh my, and it's the simplest things. And we kind of take for granted all that God gives us every day. Like, I have a commute that is crazy. And when I first arrived in Charleston, the people that I work with were telling me, oh, just be so careful. There's so many crazy accidents. People are crazy. And I'm thinking, oh, I come from New York, you know, like New Jersey area. No one's more crazy. And they're not. It's similar. But I have a bigger commute now. And the Lord just showed me one morning, something happened in front of me. And he's just like, I protected you from that. Like, I could hear it in my spirit. I protected you from that. Like, we need to be in awe and wonder about even the things we don't even realize God is protecting us from every day, whether it be on the road or in our families or in relationships or whatever it is, at work. He's constantly protecting us. And he just wants us to know I felt in my spirit that things are going to start to happen, that we are going to be in awe and wonder about what God is doing. He's waking that up in us. That's not my message. So we are going to talk about a season of preparation. And as we're moving into Passover, that is what this is all about. Passover, for the Jewish people, as they're heading into Passover, they are in preparation mode. And what does that look like for them? They are clearing out every cupboard. If you are a practicing Jew, you are clearing your house out of every single piece of yeast or bread or crackers from your cupboards. They move all their dishes and everything out. They put them in the dishwasher. They clean out all their cupboards. It is a major, major event for them. I can remember when I was early on in my early years at the law firm I was working for in Teaneck, they were all pretty much in Orthodox Jewish families growing up. And so they continued the practice, and their families would hire people to come in and do all this work. And it would literally take a week because they cleaned the house from top to bottom, just getting out anything that might be there that would contaminate them. We have to think about that today, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as clearing out our hearts. We need to open our hearts to the Lord in this season of preparation, and we need to allow him to look at every area and take out every little bit of sin. That yeast for them represented sin. They needed to be cleansed and holy before the holiest of Passovers, the Seders that they would practice. And that's how, because this was a time when they were acknowledging what the Lord had done for them and taking them out of captivity. I want to go into Genesis 46, 31 to 34. And we're going to read and talk about Joseph quite a bit this morning. You know, we read Joseph's story and we think, oh my gosh, things could have happened so much different. Like, his brothers were terrible. They sold him into slavery. This poor guy he sent in prison for something he didn't do. Like, if you read the story of Joseph, you will see that he had an amazing calling on his life from a young boy, but then went for 22 years into what I would think chaos. I would be complaining. I would be upset and not wanting to see my brothers. Like, wouldn't you be in a spirit of bitterness or vengeance? Like, when I see them, I'm going to get them. I could think about, like, I could see myself doing that, right? But Joseph, as we read, he humbled himself in every place he was, whether he was thriving or he was in prison. Not only did he humble himself, but he always worked with excellence as if he was doing it for the Lord and not for himself. God set Joseph up to not only prepare in the natural, he set him up. That whole 22 years led him to the point where he not only would be able to feed a nation, and let's think about that nation. It was Egypt. It wasn't the Israelites. He rose to power in a what we would call evil nation, second to Pharaoh, so that he could provide for that nation. God gave him that wisdom and the ability to provide for that nation that would permit Israel to survive. When the Lord showed that to me this week, I was like, how dare I complain? How dare I complain? We don't understand. I'm sure when Joseph was going through all this, he had no idea what the outcome would be. Sometimes God puts us in a place and sets us up, gives us a word, and then takes us in the total opposite direction. Think about David, similar story. So with Joseph having that word on his life, and then he ends up sold into slavery, becomes the best slave, then the guy he's working for, his wife, accuses him of something he doesn't do, and he ends up in prison, where he does something wonderful for two other people in prison, and they forget all about him. For years, he sits in that prison, being the best prisoner ever, if you read it. He had that anointing on him wherever he went. And I have to think about me. Am I living that way no matter where I am? Am I living like Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for me? Am I living in that power? Am I living in resurrection life? Am I bringing that wherever I go? Joseph was pre-Christ. But God set him up to be in the right place at the right time, to not only forgive his brothers, but bring his father. And then Pharaoh, Pharaoh gives them the land of Goshen. And the Goshen talks about drawing near to God. That's what it means. But why does Pharaoh give them the land of Goshen? I missed this for a lot of years, right? So let's read. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. So not only do the brothers have to humble themselves and come and bow down before their brother that they sold into slavery, think about that preparation. They did it because they were going to die where they were. They had to find food. And little did they know it would be their brother that would be providing that. But it's the dream Joseph had. You have to read this. I couldn't do the whole story of Joseph this morning, so you have to go back and read it if you don't know it. But then we read here that they get the land of Goshen, which was provided to them because they were shepherds, which were deplorable. They were the deplorables. But God blessed them in humbling themselves and coming and saying, we're shepherds. We're the lowest of the low, basically, to the Egyptians. They humbled themselves before their enemy to say, this is who we are. This is who we are. We're not changing. And God blesses them with the land of Goshen. And I had to think about that for us today. Because Joseph was the man he was, anointed by God and living in his anointing, because we can be anointed and choose to use it in other ways. Joseph's family survived, Israel survived, and not only that, in the land of Goshen, they multiplied, they expanded, which you will hear about. They were blessed. So what we'll find as we move on, we're going to find that regardless of whether the Israelites were free in the land of Goshen, because then once Joseph died, they were enslaved by the new Pharaoh in that same land. And even living as slaves to the Egyptians, if you read in Goshen, you find that they multiplied, that they were blessed, that they increased in number to the point that the Egyptians were fearful of them, that they would overtake them. So even when we are living in a difficult place, even when God moves us or allows us to be in a place that is difficult, I would say we're in that place today. It is difficult with the culture of today. He provides us with the ability to dwell in Goshen. So Goshen in the Old Testament is a physical place where God physically provided for his people and the people of Egypt. So Joseph was responsible for a physical preparation. So God, I feel like God in this season is talking to us about be prepared in the natural. You know, nothing happens in this world on earth without God first sharing it with his prophets. It's scriptural. And when you hear prophets all speaking in the same way, it is time for us to open our ears and hear what the Lord is saying. And if you're listening, you'll hear that almost every person that the Lord has given a national, global anointing to as a prophet is speaking about being prepared. So we have to take that seriously. And I believe there is a preparation we need to do in the natural. And there's also a preparation, more importantly, that we need to be doing in the spiritual. So in the natural, I don't like to go crazy. I've met some people who do, you know, they're building bunkers. And I believe there's a level of the Lord wants us to rely on him, just like Jacob and his family did. They were relying on the Lord, and the Lord used Joseph to prepare in the natural and also to prepare this place in the spiritual for them. So I would say it's important. You know, we've already had a taste with COVID of how there might not be supplies. And you might want to have some extra supplies in your house and candles and just in case the electric is out for a few days. I know down in South Carolina, when you move in, they give you a whole list of how to be prepared for a hurricane. They give you a list, what you should have in your home, just in case you can't get to the store. And let me tell you something. Ronnie and I had the experience of being in South Carolina during a hurricane. It didn't end up being what they expected. But everything shuts down. Everything. Even the Walmart. Like, you can't get anything. Not a thing. So when you're in an area where something like this is something they think about, like, I wouldn't say to you, I thought about that much prior to the last few years of being prepared. But we need to be prepared. Because down there, when something like that happens, if you don't have stuff in your house, oh well, you're not going to be able to get anything for a couple of days. And that wasn't even a real hit with a hurricane. It was a pass-by. And still, Walmart wasn't open for 2 days. I mean, like, come on. Yeah, and they have the sandbags, and they put out all the sandbags, and you have, our home came with boards that you can screw into your windows. They know how to be prepared. So I'm saying to you this morning, know how to be prepared. Ask the Lord, how should I prepare? How should I be prepared for what might happen? You never know. If it doesn't happen, it sits in your garage. I'm praying every day. Every time I see those boards, I say, thank you, Lord, that they're never going to be used. Right? But I'm prepared just in case. So I would say to you that God is calling us to draw near to him right now in this time. Because what you'll find if you go and you read through Exodus and you read the plagues and how the plagues didn't touch Goshen. Many of those plagues didn't touch the land where the Israelites were living. And not only that, when God, one of those plagues was he caused darkness to come on the land, there was light in Goshen. And that is what God's calling us to be right now, the light in the dark, because it's going to get darker. We can read it in scripture. It's not something I'm making up. If you're reading your Bible, you know that things will become darker before it gets better. And we are called to be that light in this season. And now, not then, is the time that we're preparing for that. I believe God gives us supernatural strength to do what he puts in front of us. So if God is calling you into something or edging you into something that you feel like you have no plan or skill for, there's a reason he's calling you there. I'm sure Joseph didn't think he was prepared to know how to save a nation. But God gave him a dream, and God gave him the plan, and God showed him how to do it. And then he just followed what he gave him. So I want to tell you today that if you're feeling a little comfortable where you're at, then I would say to you, ask the Lord where you need to be. Because it is a time when we are not to be complacent. It is a time when the church needs to wake up. And we could see, if we're looking at the world, the national picture right now, that God has shaken up his church. He's tired of a church that is just permitting anything to happen, that's no longer following the word. He's not going to let us sit by. He's not coming back for a sloppy bride. He's coming back for a bride that is spotless. The sloppiness has to go. And what they say in the church we attend now is time for the church to grow up. We have to be a grown-up church. And it's the truth. We could sit in our seat every Sunday. We could hear the word. We could go home, live our life, come back next Sunday, hear the word. That's not a grown-up church. A grown-up church is a powerful church that is impacting the people around them. So if we are not impacting the people we are meeting every day, then we need to figure it out. You know, I was actually very blessed yesterday. I got to meet a couple that are neighbors to my son, and that's not the part that was the blessing. I'll get to that part. They happened to stop by. We were doing the Easter eggs with the kids in the front, and they stopped by, and my son introduced us, and they said to us, "Your daughter-in-law and son are such a blessing to us. We've lived in this community for many, many years. They're older than us, probably. And we don't know anybody here anymore. Nobody talks to anybody. But your son and daughter-in-law come and visit us all the time, and they sit and talk with us. They are such a blessing." Let me tell you something. We don't need to have a platform ministry. It's not about that. It's about, who do you live next door to? Who are the people in your neighborhood? Are you the one going and talking to people? Are you sharing just the love of Christ? It's not even like they're in their face about, being saved or anything like that, but they are fully aware of who they are. Because they asked, "Oh, are you going to church with them tomorrow?" They asked me. So I know that they're talking about it in a way that these people, like, she came over with dessert she had made for them. But it was a blessing to me to hear how they're a blessing, but not that. It's about what we all should be. It's what we all should be every day, wherever we are, whatever we do. It doesn't matter what we're doing. So let's go look at Exodus 12, 15 to 16. It just talks more about what I've been already talking about because I'm always out of order. Sorry. Exodus, "For 7 days," this is God's instruction to them on what they need to do. "For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel." Thank God we live under grace. So if they ate something with yeast, this is all symbolic. If they stepped into sin for us, they were cut off. But thank you, Jesus, that you took all that for us, and we don't have to be cut off. But we do need to repent. We do need to turn around. You know, we've gotten into this place where we think, well, as long as I repent, I'm okay. But repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. Repent means I'm going to run in the total opposite direction of what I was doing. It's not every week I could come and repent for the same thing over and over and over. God gets tired of that. That's not a grown-up Christian. First Corinthians, this is Paul's teaching on it, 5:7-8. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, if you read this chapter, Paul is speaking about someone they permitted to be in their congregation who was clearly in rebellion of God's truth, God's ways. He was in sin, outright sin. But they allowed him to remain with them without correction, which caused that sin to start permeating through the whole group. Why? Because they allowed it to stay without correction. There's a scripture also in Matthew 33:13. It's a parable Jesus talked about the yeast. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. So here, that yeast was good. It was the kingdom of God. It was good yeast. And the idea is that as she mixed that dough and the yeast into it, it spreads throughout the dough. So if that yeast is bad, if it's sin that we allow to be around us, with us, in us, so it's not only just about who we are, it's about who we hang out with. Who we allowed to speak into our life. We want good yeast. We want God's word seated in us, making the dough good, making the bread we give out amazing. But we need to come into a place where we allow the Lord in this season to shine his light and show us what speck we have. A lot of times, I know for myself, I'm just going through my day thinking I'm doing great, and maybe I get tripped up by something, and the Lord shows me, like, this thing. It's this thing. We don't even see it. We have to ask the Lord, show us, show me, Lord, what's hindering me from being in this dwelling in Goshen, where I'm near to you and I have the discernment I need. Because we need discernment in this season. And that comes from dwelling with him. It comes from being in his presence. It comes from saturating ourselves with the word. The message that Charles spoke last week lines right up. We need to be saturated. You know, the disciples, even though they were walking with Jesus, you know, we could be walking with the Lord every day, but our eyes and ears are not open. So the disciples, they were walking with Jesus, but they still were clueless on what was about to happen. Jesus gave his life and promised Holy Spirit. The disciples didn't have Holy Spirit. And he said, when I go, someone is coming that will comfort you and teach you. And we have access to Holy Spirit. So we don't have to live in that place of not understanding that the disciples were in. They didn't understand. They thought that he was going to reign on earth as a king. So when he died on the cross, it devastated them. And that is why they scattered. But we today have access to Holy Spirit that will help us discern what is happening around us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be concerned. We have the end of the book. We have the revelation. We know we have the victory. They didn't know that. They didn't remember that he said he was going to raise on the third day. And even if, I have to say, if I were walking with Jesus and he told me that, I probably would think, well, I don't know, what does that mean? It would probably would have sounded abnormal, even though we raised several people from the dead already. But we know, and we have discernment, and we have the ability to tap into Holy Spirit and understand truth. So I just want to share what I wrote down about what it means to be dwelling in the land of Goshen. I want to share this with you. Goshen is the place of protection, of drawing near to God. It is the place where God makes a distinction between his people and the people of the world, between his kingdom and the world's Babylonian system of finances. If we think about that with Joseph, right? He clearly made a distinction. When God's hand was on something, then there was provision. Between his kingdom and the world's Babylonian system of finances, political government, immorality, and false religion. And when he draws his people out, he is ready to make a distinction. And I believe that God is drawing his people into a new place because he is going to make a clear distinction of what is his and what is not. We are in that place. And if we're not ready to grow up and become grown-up Christians and not baby Christians, we may miss that. We may not have the discernment to see where he's leading us. So the call this morning is to what we've been hearing for years, wake up. It's time. Now is the time. God is on the move, and we don't want to be left behind trying to figure it out. We want to be up front with discernment, knowing what's happening, so that we can be prepared to help people along. And that is what Joseph did. He was able to save a nation because he heard and listened to God. And that is where God is calling us to. We are called to disciple nations, to prepare the people around us, to be the place. You know, I always pictured in my mind that I wanted my home to be the place in the neighborhood where people know they could come for help. Sometimes when they come, then you're like, oh. But God gives us grace for what we need to do. And I want the people, even if they don't personally know me, I want our home to be the one that the neighborhood knows. This is where you can get healing. This is where you can get prayer. This is where you can get some help. That's the place. And that's what God calls us to. We are to be a place where people could come. We are to be the Goshen to others. Well, that's all I have this morning, but we are, you know, our church does this blessing every Sunday over us as we leave. And I asked John if he would do that this morning because I carry it with me all week. It's the same every week, but it just heightens my week. And I just want to share that with you this morning. We want to bless you. We want to bless you in all that God's been blessing us with. And we want to see you all walking in God's blessings.
If it's okay, I want to just say a few things before.
Yes.
I asked, I'm sorry. I always ask the Lord to help me stay composed, but he doesn't pay attention to me, so I'll do my best. So we had a visitor in the church we attend last week, and she relayed this story. She was in a meeting and heard this firsthand. I'll give you the shortened version. There was a couple that had some need, some big expense, and they just couldn't pay it. And the woman prayed, Lord, you own the cattle on 10,000 hills, 1,000 hills. It's in the Psalm, I guess. And he said, could you please sell one of those cows? So, unbeknownst to her, another couple that owned a farm sold some cattle, and they got the money for it. And for some reason, the wife said, we have to hold back the money on one of these cows. I don't know why. And then had it in her purse and went to that meeting and went up to this woman and said, the Lord told me to give you this money for a cow. We have no idea why. So, you know, if we wonder if the Lord is listening to us, I mean, you know, he does pay attention. And the other thing there was this quote that somebody had sent me, and it was really good. And I wanted to read it to you all. It says, "Ponder how valuable your soul must be for Satan to tirelessly pursue it and the king to lay down his own life for it." So that's something to think about. There I go. So this is the blessing. "May the enemy who comes at you in one direction run from you in seven. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are the head and not the tail. You are the first and not the last. You are blessed when you come in. You are blessed when you go out. You are blessed when you sit down. You are blessed when you get up. The work of your hands are blessed. The steps of your feet are blessed. The thoughts of your mind are blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. Now go be a blessing to someone." Amen.